Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I'm here. Everybody relax. We're good. I got this. We're set. We're ready. Let's rock and roll. Let's have a good time. Fun. Hi. Good morning. Happy Wait. Why am I saying that as if it is some mystery? Why am I saying that as if it is shocking? Why am I saying that as if I don't know? Because I do, and as I assume the rest of you do as well. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, may I be the first to wish you on this beautiful Thursday, August 7th, 2025. Happy Football Day. Happy Football Day. Happiest of football days, my dear friends. We've made it. And we had the Hall of Fame game a week ago. And it was great. Don't get me wrong. But I described it then as I will describe it now. The Hall of Fame game is like when you go out to eat at your favorite ristorante. It's like when you go out to eat and you know you're going somewhere that you genuinely love to go. You know that you're going somewhere that you are excited about the food. Maybe they have your favorite barbecue. Maybe they have your favorite seafood dish. Maybe your favorite pizza. Whatever. But it's your favorite place. And you've been waiting, anticipating that meal. So, what do? You don't eat for a little while. You maybe don't have breakfast that day. Maybe you skip lunch that day. And you spend the whole day thinking about it. That's the off season. And then you get to the restaurant and you sit down and you're all excited because now it's real. Now it's real. Now you can see it. You can smell it. You can do everything but taste it. And the waitress comes over, the waiter comes over and says, "Can I take your drink order?" And you say, "Yeah, I'd like a Coke or whatever." And then they go, "Great, what would you like for an appetizer?" Because you know it's going to take a little while. It's a great meal. It's worth waiting for. So you say, "Hey, you know, I'll have that house salad." You know what I had last night? I had last night some delectable spring rolls. Had some wonderful spring rolls last night. Lady and I went out to dinner, had some spring rolls. Now, what I was genuinely excited about was my sweet and sour shrimp and broccoli with snow peas and carrots. But when she came to the table and said, "What would you like as an appetizer?" I said, "I'd like some delectable spring rolls." And so she brought the delectable spring rolls. And she brought me a little yum-yum sauce because I'm a huge yum-yum sauce guy. She brought me some yum-yum sauce. She brought me the spring rolls. I did a little dip. I took a little bite. And it was good. But it wasn't great. And it wasn't great because I spent all day thinking about my sweet and sour shrimp and broccoli. I was losing my mind about it. And so the spring rolls were great. They were enjoyable. They were worth eating. They were worth ordering. It was fantastic. That's where we are right now. Last week was the waiter coming to the table and saying, "Can I take your drink order?" And what would you like as an appetizer? And we ordered. We all watched the Lions and the Chargers, and we said, I'd like some of that, please. And we got our beverage, and we took a little sip, and we sat down, and we just enjoyed each other's company. And now today, the spring rolls and the yum-yum sauce have hit the table. It's time to tuck in. Is it what we are all waiting for? No. We have still got a handful, a full more weeks until the main course hits the table. But the spring rolls are here. That yum-yum sauce is poured in that little square dish that you get for dipping sauces, which I'll be real. I understand why restaurants want to give you your dipping sauces in those little square plates. You know the ones I'm talking about. Like, they're not big enough to be plates. You know, they're the size of your palm, and they're like a quarter of an inch deep. I get why you want those to be the accepted plate for sauce, because if you give me a bowl, I'm going to fill that bowl up with sauce. I'm going to fill that bowl up with sauce. I'm going to use a lot of it. But let's be honest, we try our best not to waste, reduce, reuse, recycle. We all went to elementary school. I'm going to leave some in there. If you give me that tiny little square plate, I'm not going to leave a lot there. There's just no room to put wasteful sauces. However, it aggravates the blue hell up out of me because numero uno, I'm only going to get like a quarter inch of sauce. I don't know about you. At the restaurant, if there is a sauce that comes with whatever I am eating, whether it is spring rolls or chicken wings or whatever, if something I'm eating comes with a sauce, I'm drenching it. All right? I'm not a light sauce dipper. I'm drenching that thing. Give me ranch with my wings, and I'm drowning that wing in ranch. When I get my spring roll, I want the yum-yum sauce, and I'm going to cover it up, all right? It's going to be flavored like the sauce. I'm still going to get the taste of the food. I get why you give us those little square bowls or plates or whatever the hell they are, restaurants, but I'm begging you, like, can we compromise? Can you use the little square dipping sauce plate, but just make it twice as deep? Because what aggravates the crap more out of me than anything else is now I have to dip my spring roll 50,000 times. Or, as I did last night, this was aggravating. They bring out the little squeezy bottle with the yum-yum sauce in it, and every time I'm ready for a bite of the spring roll, I've got to take the little bottle. I've got to pull the little square plate over. I've got to hover the spring roll over it. And I've got to go straight from the bottle to get the sauce that I want on the spring roll and then let the excess dribble down onto that plate. Give us bigger dipping sauce plates, please. I know you don't want to be wasteful. I get it. It's not even wasteful. I get that you don't want people wasting sauce because that's more sauce you have to pay for your restaurant. I get it. I understand. But I think we can come to the agreement, to the arrangement that you like double the depth of the little sauce plates, right? We're all on board? Good. I thought so. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a show lined up for you today. Because as mentioned just mere moments ago, it is football day in America, and we have got a number of games for you on tap. Three of them, to be specific. They are staggered at 7 o'clock, 7:30 o'clock, and 10 o'clock p.m. this evening. We will open it up with the Colts and the Ravens. We'll then take it to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the reigning, defending, undisputed NFL football world champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, will host Joey Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And then at 10 o'clock tonight, out to the great Pacific Northwest we go. When the Seattle Seahawks, led by their intrepid young quarterback, Sam Darnold, again, question mark maybe, because we're still waiting on a lot of reports about go, no go for starters and reserves. But we do know Sam Darnold is the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm really interested in this Las Vegas Raiders team. They have become, over the past few weeks, a very trendy pick as a win total over bet. They have become a very trendy pick as a potential wild card team. In fact, and I want to have this discussion later on in the show, because during the course of the show today, Lonzo and I are going to, and he is here, we just had a, there's a little hiccup over on our brother station, WORD, that Lonzo, being the master and commander of all things Odyssey Greenville, Lonzo got called up out of the chair quite literally as the intro music was rolling to run over to the other side of the building and handle business for the people. So Lonzo is here. He will be back a little bit later on in the show. But what I'll say for right now is, over the duration of the four-hour radio program extravaganza today, we are going to begin discussing our NFL divisional winners and losers. We've got a handful of weeks left to go, but the preseason is here. I'm not saying we will officially go on the record with our NFL preseason winners and losers today, but I am saying we will begin having the discussion. Primarily today, we will talk about some of our dark horses, some of our teams that maybe ain't getting the love that they deserve, but teams that we think may very well surprise some or most or all of you. I've got a few of them. And spoiler alert, since we are here, the Raiders are one of them. I am very intrigued in this team. I am intrigued by Pete Carroll coming back. Because on one hand, if you've listened to this show and you've bought into the lies and fabrications of my co-host Lonzo, who has done his darndest to convince all of you that I dislike old people, which is not true, so that we are abundantly clear. If you have bought into the lies and fabrication that I do not like old people, that's just factually incorrect. But that is why I am super intrigued by Pete Carroll and the Oakland, scratch that, I keep doing it, it's only been like 10 years, Las Vegas Raiders. And then you partner up with Geno Smith. Geno Smith, a quarterback who, shockingly, has really impressive results, specifically with Pete Carroll. Now, granted, those were a handful of years ago. That ain't now. That's a number of years ago. But he's had results. And even at Seattle, before he moved down to Las Vegas, the results are good. So I'm gonna tell you later on in the show, as I run through some of my dark horse National Football League teams this year, I'm going to tell you why the Las Vegas Raiders are one of them. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show, as well as the other dark horses from around the league. Mike Vrabel has proven one more time again that he's an absolute psychopath, but I'm going to tell you why Mike Vrabel actively getting involved in a joint practice fight yesterday now has me all the way in on the New England Patriots. Not, oh, they're trending up. Not, they're going to be good. I think I'm all in on this team. Not to win the division. Not to win the division. Not to win the AFC. But to build a hell of a lot of momentum behind Mike Vrabel that will allow them to do just that in the next couple of years. I love what happened yesterday. We'll get to that. There is a lot in the NFL. All you need to know right now, all that matters right now, is that it is football day in America. So we'll take a look at the three preseason games tonight. We'll start evaluating the football weekend. We'll talk some Clemson and South Carolina later on in the daytime, 8 a.m. as a matter of fact. We are rejoined by the lovely Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. We'll catch up on all things South Carolina Gamecock football as, yeah, we're celebrating football day in America with NFL preseason tonight. We are 3 weeks to the day away from college football as well, people. Just three more Thursdays, and it's on. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. I am Rob Brown. The Great Milonzo is in the building. He'll rejoin us in the next segment. So should you. 844-326-3663 is the number. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, what's up? How's it going? How's your morning, Alonzo?
Same as usual.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio.
Although, look of panic in someone's eyes when they walk in does make you feel a little important.
That door swang open as if there was some sort of national emergency going on, and Lee thought Vin Diesel and Dwayne Johnson were in here to save us all. I mean, that door could not have been opened more violently. It opened like that scene in every Western when the bad guy walks into the saloon and he kicks those swinging doors open and the place just goes silent. The guy playing the piano just stops. Somebody in the back of the bar drops a beer glass. The bartender was using that same dirty-ass towel he just wiped the bar down with. And stops wiping the next mug that he was working on because the bad guy just
kicked
all the
that
door
spit open. Too. He stopped washing that glass. But yeah, that was and I don't even think he jump scared you. I mean, there was just not enough time. It was just like, oh no.
Well, he did something that it was more of a push than like a punch through the door.
The door's heavier.
And Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall.
Lee's getting older, and the doors are getting heavier. I'm with him on this.
Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall. When he pushes the door, he pushes the door like it owes him money. Lee has more of a distinguished violence about him in the AM when he opens the door and says, "Catastrophe, and we need the great one to avert the crisis."
Here's what Lee did, though. He started his newscast. He played a news clip. During the news clip, he walked over here and got me. Was able to go back before the clip ended, sit down, and continue his news.
Well, he's a broadcast professional.
I mean, there you go.
Broadcast professional. We have got a lot to get to. But I'm going to dive right in with this. Yesterday, the Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots held a joint practice.
I miss it. I miss the bump. I don't know why you stopped doing it. I mean, they're not that credible yet. They have one good season.
And they went to an NFC title game.
They've had
more success in one season than the Cowboys have had in three decades.
That's true. But I don't think it's enough to cancel the song.
Oh, I think it's very enough to cancel the song.
Disappointed. I love that.
No, don't get me wrong. It was one of my favorite gimmicks.
So can you promise that if there's a sophomore slump for the quarterback and it go downhill this year, that you'll bring it back?
If they go downhill because they kick themselves in the nads, absolutely. I will relentlessly and openly mock any team who beats itself. You don't get drummed on because you're a bad football team. You get drummed on because you made yourself a bad football team. because the business-making decisions of your football team led to you being a bad football team. I need to come up with some sort of hilarious, catchy slogan for Dallas because they're doing it to themselves. Hell, with everything that's been going on, with all of the discussion taking place around Micah Parsons, you would think that maybe by now, at some point, Jerry Jones would. And this is the advice that I believe an attorney would give him. It is a legal term. It is a term that is used in courts of law by lawyers helping out their clients to not incriminate themselves. The phrase, the legal phrase, and I think it's Latin. The legal phrase is, shut the up.
Sounds Latin.
I think it is.
Sounds like part of a dead language. Yeah.
I don't know the etymology of the word. I'll go check with Captain America, Chris Evans, down the hall later. He's my etymology guy. But the phrase is, and I think there's like a way with a little inflection in the middle. It like changes the pronunciation of the phrase. That's kind of what gives it that spice that makes it sound really fancy if an attorney says it. But again, if I was Jerry's attorney trying to protect him in the only court right now that's relevant, which is, of course, the court of public opinion, I would say, Jerry, I would encourage you to, again, shut the up. But Jerry, he just refuses to shut the up. He's doing it to himself. The Commanders, for many years, absolutely did it to themselves. Dan Snyder, their old owner, noted not a great guy, and on top of that, not a great owner. Dan Snyder, for many years, did it to himself, did it to his own football team. And that is why when they changed the name to Commanders, which, again, not even mad at, to tell you the truth, not even upset with, fine. It's like, it is what it is. It's pretty generic name. I thought Washington Football Team was a pretty dope name, very unique, stood out, roll with it, but hey, your call. When Dan Snyder was in charge, the decisions of Dan Snyder were the reason that the Washington Commanders, bum, 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 bums, had their fans out front of their building trying to come up with new slogans and fight songs, leading them to quite literally say, Washington Commanders, bum, 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 which turned into bum, 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 bums because they were a bunch of bums, but they got out of the way. Dan Snyder was obligated to sell the team. Josh Harrison steps in, takes over, and since then, the decision-making process in Washington, with the exception of what I thought was a bad call of hiring Dan Quinn as their head coach, because we've seen Dan Quinn as a head coach in Atlanta, and it did not go great. Outside of hiring Dan Quinn, and honestly, at this point, I think I have to acknowledge even hiring Dan Quinn. Maybe Dan Quinn is to Washington what Hoodie was to the Browns before he went to the Patriots. I don't know. But they went and they got their guy in Jaden Daniels. Rob Brown won a bunch of money last year betting Jaden Daniels to win the NFL Rookie of the Year, which I don't know if I've mentioned on this show or others yet. He did. They're not punching themselves in their own groin. However, this story is actually about the New England Patriots. Because right now, they, I think, may be joining the two teams that we spoke about minutes ago. I should say joining one of the teams we talked about and separating themselves from the other. I don't care if you don't like it. If you want a football team to be successful, you need your players to be happy, content, satisfied, bought in, whatever you want to say. You need them bought in. You need them to love the logo on the helmet as much as they love the name on the back. And some teams get it, and some teams, hi, Jerry, don't. My take on the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons situation has been the entire time. It is not about how you're making Micah Parsons feel. It is not about whether or not Micah Parsons is going to be a Cowboy or not next year. What it is about is very simple. There's a bunch of other dudes in that locker room who see how you are treating Micah Parsons. And if they look at that and go, well, if that's how they're going to treat that guy, who is one of the best football players in the country, in the league, if that's how they're going to treat that guy, then how the hell are they going to treat me when it's my turn to talk about a new contract? I don't think they're bought in, which is why you see CeeDee Lamb out there subtweeting the Cowboys like a high school kid, right? So look at the teams that are successful. Kansas City, Philadelphia, all of them have developed this culture of making sure that while it is a business and you must run it as such, the guys that are employees of your business are satisfied. They enjoy their workplace environment, et cetera, et cetera. The Commanders and the Patriots held a practice yesterday, joint practice. They're getting ready for their preseason game. During the practice, they were running pass rush, pass blocking scenarios. And at one point, a Washington Commander defensive lineman, and I had all the details somewhere, but I closed it out with every intent of opening it back up, and then I forgot to do that. But it doesn't really matter who it was. At one point, a Commander's running back was in pass pro. A Patriots running back was in pass pro. A Commander's edge rusher blasted through the line and blew him the bleep up. And it led to a fight. It's joint practice. The over-under for number of fights in any joint practice is 1.5. There's going to be 1 or 2 of them every joint practice. So a fight started. But unlike other fights at other joint practices, do you know who ran over, dove into the scrum, got involved trying to break it up? New England Patriot head coach Mike Vrabel. Vrabel, on a sprint, got to the pile, dove in, and started trying to break guys up, trying to get the fight over with. Vrabel came out of the pile, and from the reports I read, he was not so at the scrum. He was in it, like disappeared in the pile underneath it, rooting around, trying to get dudes off other dudes. And when he emerged from the pile, bloody nose, cuts on the face, ice pack for the rest of practice. He was in it.
And probably went home smiling.
Ain't no doubt. But that is not why this story, it's cool. It's a fun story.
All right,
Mike Vrabel's still a psychopath.
I looked this up because I was curious. Only 2 practices, joint practices, were canceled because of fighting last year. One of them was your team. The Giants and Lions fought, and they were fined $200,000 for multiple fights during their joint practice.
Yeah, if I recall, theirs kind of turned into like open combat for a hot minute. So the thing is, the story itself is fun. Mike Vrabel turns out still a psychopath. Like, not running up to the scrum and pulling guys by the shoulder pads out. No. Diving in like an Olympic high diver.
Do you think crazy goes away? Because I don't think
so. No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. I think crazy calms down, but I don't think it goes away. But that's not even the important part. Here is, after practice, wide receiver DeMario Pop Douglas and Drake May's response. Okay, you could have left the last park off there, Drake.
First of all,
we knew
when he said tussle that there's no way he got in that fight. If you use the word tussle, you're not a fighter.
Unless you're a pugilist.
There is a whole lot of tussling going on over there, and we love to see that in our team. I was going to get in there, but you know, my shoe was untied or something, and so I couldn't do that. But go team.
I looked over and I saw the players raising fisticuffs and what was sure to become a kerfuffle. Hey, put them up, eh? Put up your dukes. Yeah, Drake May, probably leave the last part off, all right? That being said,
I tried to find a constable, but there wasn't one available.
The point, I think, to that is this. On one hand, I've got teams like the Bengals and the Cowboys that are, in my opinion, though this is just an opinion, just a thought, just a guess, just a theory, doing things and saying things that make the guys in the locker room go, is this a good place to be? The star wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys is openly tweeting questions about his ownership and his management. On the flip side, here's a football team that just watched. Why did I go full John Gruden? Here's a football team that just watched their head coach, granted a former NFL linebacker and a bit of a psychopath, but their head coach nonetheless, who saw one of his dudes getting laid up on by some other dudes and throwing hands, and his response was not to furiously tweet on the whistle. Come on, guys. Knock it off. Let's get back to practice. It's not why we're out here. No. Mike Vrabel, put on the running boots, hit it on the sprint, head first into the pile as if he still had on helmet and jersey. Shocking, he did not. Comes out with a bloody nose, and when his players walk over and go, Coach, what the hell's wrong with you? His response is, yeah, but you should have seen the other dude. I'm going to tell you straight up. You give me a coach, you give me owner, you give me GM, who proves that they care about me as a dude and that they are willing to go to war for me, I'm going to go to war for them. I am in on the New England Patriots. In the course of the next 2 years, this team's a divisional threat.
You think our boss would dive into the pile for us?
You know, I'd like to say yes. All I can say for sure, because if there is a joint practice style fight in the building.
I've seen that psycho. Psycho look in his eyes. Yeah, I think he would jump in.
If there's
in
a
for
joint
us.
Practice style fight in the building, things have gone tragically wrong. I am going to say, I think our station's probably the betting favorite to win a station-wide Royal Rumble. But I will say this. He strikes me as that kind of quiet psycho. That kind of psycho that, like, it doesn't look like he's going to snap until he snaps, and then everybody in the room goes, oh, hell, that guy just snapped. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. That's a compliment, by the way.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. On Thursday.
I'm feeling pretty good about this week.
Dude, this might be a bad week.
You're going to deny this. I won last week. So if I, 2 weeks in a row, see, you're always going to deny it because you can't remember. I definitely won last week.
I don't know about that.
I'm on a pretty good streak right now.
I feel like maybe it was a tie.
No, it wasn't.
Texter says, Rob, I hate when people charge for an extra side of ranch when the one they give you is the size of a medicine cup. Correct take.
Are you guys going to a place where the food doesn't taste good enough that you need that side thing?
No. What we were talking about is, back in the opening segment, I pointed out that today is football day. We've got three NFL preseason games this evening at 7:30 and then at 10 o'clock in the p.m. And, you know, I said, yeah, we had the Hall of Fame game last week. And because I'm just a fat guy and I compare everything to food, to meals, what I said was, last week the NFL Hall of Fame game, especially when only one team started starters and they only started starters for a little while, last week was the NFL equivalent to getting to that restaurant that you've had plans to go to for a while. Last week was the equivalent of the waiter coming up and saying, can I take your drink order and your appetizer? We ordered last week. We didn't get anything. We ordered. Today is the day that the waiter, and this week really is the week, that the waiter returns to the table and he sets the appetizer down. He sets your drink down and he says, all right, guys, your entree order is in. They're cooking it right now. Enjoy your appetizer. I'll be back. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be tucking into the appetizer and our bevies before we get to the main course of NFL week number one, just a touch away from just about a month from now. And then, because I am me, I got hung up on using the example of literally me yesterday. The wife and I went out for a little Asian fusion last night. That's what we decided we wanted for dinner. I was really excited all day about my sweet and sour shrimp with broccoli, snow peas, and carrots. Big fan. Ordinarily, that'd be sweet and sour chicken, but I was in the mood for some shrimp last night. But I also...
Do you judge shrimp the way you judge fish?
Much harder to bleep up shrimp.
Okay.
But I will tell you, if you bleep up shrimp, I am not coming back to your restaurant. Fish, if I come and I have a bad, like your fish isn't up to my standard, which is high, I'll acknowledge it. If I come to your restaurant and your fish isn't up to standard, I'll give you a second chance. Maybe you had a bad day. If I come and you messed up shrimp, you can't mess up shrimp. Throw them on hot surface. Pull them off when they look like shrimp.
I've had bad shrimp before. That just made the rest of the meal taste
That's what
bad.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you bleep up a shrimp, and it's hard to bleep up a shrimp, but if you mess up a shrimp, I'm not coming back. You can't get the simplest thing to get right. I'm not coming back. And when I got my sweet, or when we went to get the sweet and sour shrimp, the restaurant we went to also has delightful spring rolls. I love a spring roll. And I love some yum-yum sauce. Love some yum-yum sauce. It's delicious. And the problem is, this restaurant that we go to, when they bring you out the yum-yum sauce with whatever your appetizer you order
Did
is.
Did you say yum-yum after you eat the yum-yum sauce?
I mean, I might. I don't know. I'm usually caught up in the sheer bliss and ecstasy of some yum-yum sauce on a spring roll.
If there is no yum-yum sauce, do you order yum-yum sauce?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll ask for it by name as a grown-ass 40-year-old adult. I'll be like, sir, can I get some yum-yum sauce, please? I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. So they bring out the little, they brought me one of those little square saucer dipping sauce plates that's a friggin' millimeter deep. And then they bring you a whole-ass bottle of yum-yum sauce. So I'm like, I want you to know, I'm going ham on this bottle of yum-yum sauce. I'm going to use more than I would have if you'd have just brought me an adult-sized plate. The issue is, with a spot like an Asian restaurant, ordinarily, you may have to pour like three or four times. But you go to a place like that, you're like, can I get some yum-yum sauce? They'll bring you out the whole damn bottle. Like, go bananas. There is not jack all more infuriating than when I get buffalo wings and I order them with ranch, and they bring me out like a small ramekin, but it's only halfway filled with ranch. And then when I go, hey, that's not enough ranch. Can I get some more ranch, please? And they go, sure. And then I get that bill, and they hit me with another $1.50 because I asked them for three more ranches because they gave me an ounce of it to eat with 18 wings. Oh, that's infuriating. Infuriating. All right, we got to get to some football. I mean, I could do an entire segment on dipping sauces, but I don't think I should. All right? I think we're all on the same page. I think we all get where it's coming from. We all understand it. Let's move on, shall we? Who is? And we're going to do a lot more of this later on in the show. Who's your dark horse NFL team this year? Who's the NFL team that this year you think is flying under the radar? I've got a couple of them. We talked about one a little while ago, and I frankly already had them on my list of interesting teams, but I think I might be bumping them up into maybe dark horse for the final wild card spot. Maybe. And I think there are still questions that have to be answered. I think we have to find out about the aforementioned Drake May. I think we have to find out what a young receiver core is going to look like with a second-year quarterback in Drake May. I think we've got to find out what does Mike Vrabel's new staff look like in New England. But I am in on the Patriots. And I was already in with them as what I called them on Saturday on Bet for the Cycle, a mystery team. They're a mystery team to me because on one hand, I can see all of the reasons that a lot of people across Boston are very excited about this team. On the flip side, I also see that all of the reasons that people up in New England are excited about the Patriots, all of them are ifs. If Drake May is him, if Mike Vrabel has built a staff that works well with him, if et cetera, et cetera. And it's hard for me to say that I am elevating a team full of ifs into a good spot. And it's a team of ifs. But I'm in on Vrabel. I'm in on, if nothing else, from what I've seen out of their practice clips and whatnot, it does very much appear like this football team has adopted the Mike Vrabel mentality. And it doesn't have to be that psychopath former middle linebacker Mike Vrabel mentality, but when I see a team that you can tell has adopted a uniform mentality, usually if it is like from their head coach, when I see a football team that has adopted a uniform mentality as the Patriots seem to be adopting from Mike Vrabel, as the Chiefs have adopted from Andy Reid, as the Eagles adopted, I wouldn't even say around Nick Sirianni. I would honestly say around Howie Roseman. But it doesn't matter where the personality comes from. It only matters that the team has a uniform personality.
See, I would throw out the Chargers. I don't want them to be good, but look at what Jim Harbaugh did last season.
Yeah.
And what he's probably going to do going forward. You talk about mentality and taking on the attitude of the coach. That's what they've done.
I would agree with you entirely, and I would even go one step further. We have been over the past, 4 weeks with four to go? On Bet for the Cycle on Saturdays, noon to 4 on the BetMGM Network with myself and former MLB player Cody Decker, yada, yada, yada. We have been doing division-by-division breakdowns, making our features picks, whatever. Well, last week, Deck was out, so I was talking with some of the fellas in the background. And they're all in Chicago, Illinois, so a lot of them are Bears fans. And I had the take that the NFC North is the best division in football this year. The Detroit Lions have adopted Dan Campbell's mentality. The Minnesota Vikings have adopted Kevin O'Connell's mentality. If you haven't seen the clip, there is a great clip from last year where halfway through the season, because early Sam Darnold last year struggled a little bit out of the gate, but as the season progressed, Sam Darnold started looking like a dude last year. And there's a clip from, I don't remember what game it is, it was one of the first primetime games for the Vikings, where Sam Darnold had himself a day, went like 305 and some tutties. And as he walks into the locker room, when Sam Darnold turns the corner into the locker room after the game, the locker room loses its gosh darn mind. They're picking up Sammy D. They're parading him around the locker room like he just won a war. And that's not my favorite part of the clip. My favorite part of the clip is that when Kevin O'Connell sees that Sam Darnold is about to walk in the room and he understands what's about to happen, he just stands to the side. He stands in the door and he's got his arm crossed and he just watches it play out. And in one of the clips that I wish I could tell you where it was from. I just remember that I saw it. In one of the clips, as O'Connell is standing there watching this team parade Sam Darnold around on their shoulders, the camera spins around Kevin O'Connell, and he's just got this enormous smile across his face. A smile that, while I cannot empathize, what I can say is it is a smile that I can only describe as dad watches his son win his first Little League championship smile. Dad watches his son, mom watches her daughter win her first softball title. Like that kind of smile, right? And then in a moment where a lot of coaches, I think, would have walked into that locker room and been like, all right, guys, all right, gather up, circle round. Kevin leaves. He's just like, I'm going to let the boys have the boys, right? I'm going to let them have their moment. And I think that that moment was kind of a display that the Vikings have adopted the personality of Kevin O'Connell. We don't know a lot about what the Bears are going to be, but from what I understand, Ben Johnson's running that place, like running it, and the Bears are adopting to it. But my boy Kenny, who was producing the show on Saturday, said, Rob Brown, I'd like to submit for argument the best division in football is the AFC West. And I really kind of thought about it a little bit. We know what the Chiefs are. Lonzo just correctly and aptly brought up the Chargers. The Broncos are Sean Payton's team now. We saw that last year. They made a run last year. And there are not a lot, but there's not an insignificant number of people who are picking the Broncos to beat the Chiefs for the division this year. And I got to tell you, I don't agree, but I'm having a harder and harder time telling them that's a stupid pick. I think you're wrong, but I don't think you're wrong for bad reasons. The only question mark is going to be the Raiders. And that's only interesting because Pete Carroll's attitude, Pete Carroll's personality ain't Raiders football, right? Raiders football is tough, gritty, hard nose. They'll shank you. You'll get murdered in the stadium. But since they moved to Vegas, that's kind of gone away a little bit, right? The black hole don't hit the way it used to hit. But it's still Raider football. And Pete Carroll's the opposite of that. He's loosey-goosey, fun, loose. California, bro. USC, dude. Will the Raiders adopt that? And if the answer to that is yes, if one day Max Crosby, the scariest person on planet Earth, looks in a camera and goes, Supra, or something similar to it, then I think I'd say the Raiders are on the way. Point is, best teams adopt. And here's a Patriots team that just watched their coach go head first into the pile. I'm in on the Raiders. I'm also in on the Broncos and the Chargers, too. All right, we're going to talk a lot more NFL football as the show rolls on. We got some college stuff for you. Lulu Kessin coming up at just over an hour from right now. Sports Flash right now.
I promise no shanking during the Sports Flash, at least not from me.
Greatest!
The Atlanta Braves were swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, taking a 5-4 loss at home yesterday. Spencer Strider was tagged with a loss, giving up 11 hits and 5 runs across 4.2 innings. Atlanta had 8 hits, but put runners in scoring position for just 5 at-bats. Up next for the Braves is a 5-game home set against Miami starting today. Clemson's field could have a new look this year. Athletic Director Graham Neff said yesterday the school is considering on-field advertising as part of the strategic sponsorships. Neff said options like renaming the stadium are off the table, but that on-court advertising on basketball court at Little John serves as an example of success. LA Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani pitched 4 dominant innings in a 5-2 loss to St. Louis, but the highlight of the night was Ohtani's 1,000th career hit. Ohtani sent a deep ball out of the stadium at 109.5 miles an hour. That's pretty good.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.